Today I have a nice surprise for you. Do you like surprises? Good. So that means you're awake. I want to talk about a subject that is largely, what can I say, or that is very seldom preached about. I know that James now is listening very carefully. And this is a subject that is very dominating in the Bible. Can you imagine what this is? A subject that is very important to God. It's the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. I never noticed it until I read the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is full of it. Actually, the Bible talks 300 times about the fear of the Lord. It talks only, I say only, 200 times about the word grace. Just to show you some, you know. So the question is, why does the Bible talk so much about the fear of the Lord? Why is it so important to God? What is the fear of the Lord really? Let me give you one explanation that I found. The fear of the Lord is an awareness that you are in the presence of the holy, righteous, and almighty God. The fear of the Lord is reverence for God and an avoiding to challenge God through sin. I really like that one. Why did I choose this topic? Because I believe it's very close to God's heart. Can I start off with Ecclesiastes 12:13? We read here, "Let us hear the main sum of all teaching." That already is an interesting statement, right? God is talking here about the main sum. Not about something that is not important. It's the main sum of all teaching. It says, "Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is true for all people." It's for all people who are in the church here. I like the German Elberfelder translation for those who read German. The German Elberfelder is very accurate in its translation. I know that Daniel knows the German Elberfelder. And the German Elberfelder says, "The end result of all teaching is fear God and keep his commandments, for this is for the whole man." The end result of all teaching. What does that mean? If we talk about soccer for a moment, I love soccer. I know right now Hamburg is playing soccer. What is important in soccer? The only thing that is important is the end result. If after 30 minutes it is 2-0, it's not important. But the end result is important. The end result will go into history. So I hope that Hamburg will win today, right? Why is the fear of the Lord so important? I believe also, not only because it's mentioned so much in the Bible, but because it's important to Jesus himself. Can we turn, please, to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2? Isaiah 11:2. Here we read, "On him will rest the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Wonderful things that are promised. The Spirit of wisdom, wow. Spirit of understanding, fantastic. Don't you like understanding? The Spirit of counsel and strength. But why does the fear of the Lord rest on Jesus? Is he not God? Does Jesus need the fear of the Lord? Well, that's what the scripture says. The fear of the Lord rests on Jesus. But if we turn to verse 3, we read something very important. It says, "And he," and Jesus is meant, "and he will have his pleasure in the fear of the Lord." Isn't that amazing? Jesus himself delights in the fear of the Lord. He enjoys the fear of the Lord. I read one English translation where it says, he will quickly learn the fear of the Lord. He delights in the fear of the Lord. He has his pleasure. What is also exciting in verse 3 is that Jesus explicitly refers to the fear of the Lord. He does not mention all the other things. He does not talk about the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of counsel and strength. But he only talks about the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So to Jesus, this was the most important. Do you sometimes find yourself in a situation where you have to characterize a person? Where somebody is asking you, what kind of person is Paul or James or whatever name you have? You say, yeah. He's a busy guy. He's very faithful to his wife. He's a good father to the children. He's faithful in church. And you give all sorts of good points. But I was amazed how God describes Job. Job was a very godly man, as we know from the first few chapters. Job chapter 2, verse 3, it says, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright. And then this is what God says now. A man who fears God and shuns evil. Or in other words, avoids evil. This is all the statement that God makes. God would say Job was a good father. He was a good farmer. He was a very busy guy. He worked every day 12 hours. No. God says only two things. A man who fears God and avoids evil. And I hope that God can say that to me and to you. A man, a woman, who avoids evil and fears God. I can continue in the Old Testament, but I would like to turn also to the New Testament, because otherwise you say, this is Old Testament, but we are now living in the New Testament, right? No. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Here we read something about the prayer life of Jesus, and it says here, Jesus in the days of his flesh offered both supplication with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his godly fear. Have you sometimes wondered why prayer is not answered? Sometimes you wonder, what is wrong? I pray so long for a certain thing, but I never get an answer. And Jesus' prayer was answered, it says here, because of his godly fear. A verse from Matthew comes to my mind, seek the Lord. Yeah, seek the Lord first. And Matthew 6:33, and all the other things will be added to you. John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone fears God and does his will, he hears him. Again, the repetition. But if anyone fears God and does his will hear him. Isn't that wonderful? If you fear God, he will hear us. He promises, yes, I will hear you, for sure. The fear of God is not something I could deal with among others. It is not something for professionals in the faith. It's not something for pastors, theologians. It's something for you and for me. Proverbs 23:70 says, do not let your heart follow sinners, but be daily in the fear of the Lord. Can you imagine? If the Bible says daily, it means daily. I was looking for another translation, and there it says, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. So continue today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Secondly, What effect does the fear of God have in your life, in my life, in our life? What effect? I think one of the very, very significant effects is that it will give us recognition from God. We are all human people. We like to be recognized, right? We like to be praised. If somebody says, oh, you're a good guy, you did something really well. And here we read Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. Again, the Lord listened and heard because the guys were talking in a fearful manner. Then it says, a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. So God hears. He even stands up, takes a scroll, and writes the name of the people in that scroll. Isn't that amazing? God recognizes us when we fear him. But now you might ask, okay, you have mentioned so many Bible verses, but I want to know what really is the fear of the Lord. Give us a practical example. Are you ready? I'll give you one. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is a hatred of evil. I hate pride and arrogance, wickedness and a twisted mouth. So here, God is getting very practical. The fear of the Lord is a hatred of evil. Do you hate evil? You might hate the weather, right? Or you might hate whatever, but the Bible allows us to hate evil. So we should grow in the hatred of evil, in the hatred of sin. Can I give an example of what I experienced when I read that verse? I was on the ship, 10 o'clock in the morning, coffee break. I went to the crew mess room of a container ship. Nobody there. Everybody busy working. So I thought, oh, if there is nobody, how can I meet people that I can share the gospel with? So I went to the kitchen because I knew the cook must be there. He must cook for the seafarers. And on my way, I saw a huge naked woman on a poster. You might see that in a lot of companies. In that very moment when I saw that picture, you know what happened? This verse, Proverbs 8:13, came to my mind. The fear of the Lord means to hate evil. So I turned around from the picture, went back to the crew mess room. When I came to the crew mess room, two Filipino seafarers came in. And their first question was, do you have a Bible for me? I thought, wow, wait a minute. If I would have spent time with a beautiful woman, I would have never met these two guys. They were asking for a Bible. And I asked them, why do you want the Bible? They said, that's the first Bible in our life. We never had one. They were in their 30s. You understand the lesson? We can either love evil or we can hate evil. If we love evil, we miss out on the blessings of God. If we hate evil, we will start to see blessings. We will start to see God working. The fear of God brings many blessings. The time is short, but I'd like you to take your laptop at home and write the few words, the fear of the Lord, inside. And see how many times it's mentioned, and read especially about the blessings of the fear of the Lord. This will really encourage you. Third point, I believe all teaching must lead to the fear of God. 1 Timothy 6:3, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not abide by the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus and by the teaching that is according to the fear of God, he is conceited and knows nothing and has a morbid tendency to quarrel and fight over words. So Paul says here in Timothy, the fear of the Lord must be, all teaching must lead to the fear of God. Why must all teaching lead to the fear of God? I believe because Jesus, as our forerunner, as our example, showed us that this is important. As we saw in Isaiah 11, 2 and 3. 1 Timothy 6:11, pursue righteousness, godliness. In English, it sometimes says godliness. In the German translation, says fear of the Lord. It's funny. I don't know. But anyway, 1 Timothy 4:8, training the body has some value, but being in the fear of God has value in every way. Isn't that amazing? Has value in every way. So the fear of the Lord is not only for the so-called spiritual things, but also for the practical things. Did you know that in heaven, you will not speak in tongues, you will not prophesy, you will not evangelize? But what will you do in heaven? Yeah, you will worship God. Revelation 15:4 says, who will not fear you, O Lord, and praise your name? For you alone are holy. For all the Gentiles will come and worship before you, for your judgment have been made manifest. The fear of the Lord is the important thing in heaven. We will all worship God in fear and reverence. I don't know if you've come across a question in your mind, or maybe with the youth. People always ask, what is the will of God? At one time or the other, this question always comes up. I want to know the will of God. Well, when people ask that question, I always tell them, first look for the known will of God. There are certain things which are already known as the will of God. Like pray always, 1 Timothy, or I think 1 Thessalonians. Pray always, be joyful always. This is the will of the Lord. Yeah. But in Psalms 25, 12 and 14 it says, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and his covenant he makes them know. Isn't that amazing? God wants to show us his secrets. If we fear God, he says, the secret he will show us. He will instruct us in the way. So the fear of the Lord is for our daily life, for our daily walk with the Lord. Now, I want to give you a homework. I will not ask you if you have done the homework or not. But I want to give you homework. When you're home, please read Proverbs 1, 23 to 33. In Proverbs 1, it talks about the consequences of not living in the fear of the Lord. It's very interesting. Very interesting. I don't say more. I just say read Proverbs 1 when you're home today or tomorrow. Very interesting. Now, closing. The promises for those who fear God. There are lots and lots of promises. I could just stand here today and speak only about the promises of God when you fear him. There are so many promises. I just will quote a few. The fear of the Lord increases the day of life, days of life. You like that one? You like that promise? Increases the days of life? Wow. Wonderful, right? Proverbs 14:26. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress. His children are also shielded. Mummies and daddies, your children are shielded, protected. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Psalm 25:14. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. Do you want a good friend? Do you want the best friend? Start to fear God, and you will get to know the best friend. It's really wonderful. Now, I've talked about the fear of the Lord for my life, for your life. But the fear of the Lord is not only for our life, it's also for the church. In Acts 9:31 it says, "So then the church had peace throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria and was building itself up and living in the fear of the Lord." Isn't that amazing? Can I stop here with a question? This is a very simple question. Do you want to be happy? I don't hear anything. Funny. Oh, great, you're still awake. Great. So you want to be happy, I guess. Great, okay. Now, please listen. Proverbs 28:14. "Happy the man," I'm sure also the woman, "happy the man and the woman who remain steadfast in the fear of God." Isn't that a wonderful promise? Happy the man who fears God. Oswald Chambers once said, "If you fear God, you need not fear anything else in life. But if you do not fear God, you must fear everything else." I read that once again. If you fear God, you need not fear anything else in life. But if you do not fear God, you must fear everything else. Amen.